Good morning, church family. It's great to spend time in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome everyone here. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them that you're glad to see them. We'll get the awkwardness out of the way so that way we can worship together. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Josh Miller, and I volunteer with our youth dream team. If you have not been down to that end of the building, let me tell you that God is moving throughout the entire building. It's not just in here. If you are a first-time guest in the house with us today, there is a QR code on the back of the pew in front of you, or there is a red card in that same box that you can fill that card out either on the card or electronically, and you can either drop it in the offering bucket or take it back out to the Welcome Center. We just want to know how we can connect with you, how we can pray for you. And then if you're tuning in via live stream, whatever platform you're on, we want to make sure that you hit that like button, hit that share button, let us know where you're watching from, and then share this so that way others can hear the message. There are invite cards on the pews around you. If you have not yet taken one of those, I encourage you, take those out, whether it's to work, whether it's to the grocery store, take one of those with you. So that way it's a real simple, easy way to say, hey, you want to come to church with me? And then today, right after service, there is a packing party for the Operation Christmas Child boxes. There will be directions immediately after service, so stick around, listen to those directions, so that way you know the order of how everything is going. We would love for you to be able to help out. And then also, if you don't have any family around this area and you don't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving, there is a QR code up on the screens right now. You can scan that and you can fill it out. We have families that have offered their homes and offered for people to come in and join their families for Thanksgiving. We don't want you to celebrate alone. We want you to celebrate with your church family. If you do need more information on that, you can stop out at the Welcome Center. The deadline to sign up for those is on the 23rd, so make sure you get that signed up. And then if you would, stand to your feet. I'm going to share this verse with you. It's Psalms 100, verse 4. And I'm pretty sure I've shared this before, but it's always one that sticks out to me. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Church, we have freedoms like no other right now. Let's praise and worship our King.
I'll praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yeah, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. Yeah, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Oh, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I don't know about you, but I think everybody in here is breathing. I think every single person in here is breathing. And if you're breathing, you got something to praise about. So let's sing that last time, just that last part, just one more time and see if everybody in here is alive again. How's that sound? We'll praise God like we're actually here.
Amen.
Like we actually got something to praise about, all right?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Here we go, all right.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything
that has
breath.
You know, this morning, I guarantee there is something for you to be thankful for. I guarantee there is something for you to hold gratitude in your heart to the King for. I guarantee it. And we're in a season of gratitude. We're in a season of thankfulness. Even the world is in a season of thankfulness. That should be the normal place of our heart. The normal place of our heart, that when we come into the presence of the Lord, we enter His courts with thanksgiving. We're thankful. We're thankful that He saved us. Amen? We're thankful. Because He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. Sing that again. He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet, oh, He picked me up. He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because You healed my heart and You changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. Oh, I thank the Master, and I thank our Savior. I thank God. Yes! Yes, Lord! You're good, Father. Yes, Jesus.
Your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my have been faithful, and all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. Fire, and in darkest night, You were close like no other. I've known You as a father, I've known You as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life You have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath have been faithful.
Yes, you've been faithful, God.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Let's sing that again. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. The goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God all my life. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus, we worship you. Blessed those who run to him, who place their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek his face, who bend their knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. So come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Bless those who walk with him.
your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that cost me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I'll bless your name. Bless God with the weapons for
Amen. Somebody lied to me this morning. They told me if the light was red, that meant it was good. It's not true. It's not true. Brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about our money for a moment. And it's a good thing to talk about. Can I just tell you how much God loves you? And He expresses His love in things like talking to us about our money. You know, I heard another guy, follower of Jesus, he made this statement about money. He said, money is a tool, but it's not a tool like a hammer is a tool. It's a tool the way that nuclear power is a tool. Like, it can do a lot of good in the world, but that can also really hurt you. Like, it can mess you up. It's a dangerous tool when it's not used properly. And the scriptures tell us, I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Listen to the scriptures here. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and into trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Money is a tool, but it's a dangerous one. It can hurt you. Marriages have been destroyed by this tool. Relationships that parents have with their children have been destroyed by this tool. Some people eager to make money have neglected their families in the desire to be able to provide things for their families, but they neglect their money is a tool, but it's a dangerous one. And God loves us, so he talks to us about it. Paul's writing to Timothy in verse 10 here. He says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Money is not evil. Loving it is. It's the root of all of it. And it says, "Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Money can be dangerous to us. And then it's important for us to acknowledge that. Like, this thing is something that will wreck my life if I don't keep a hold of it. If I don't have the right perspective of it, it'll ruin me. Does God not want us to be rich? I don't think that's true. I think rich people can do a lot for the kingdom of God. It's not about that. It's about where is your heart? What's your heart after? In Hebrews 13, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said," I love this part, why should we keep ourselves free from the love of money? "Because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." If money is such a dangerous thing, the most loving thing that God could do for us is give us a way to not let it be our master. And one of the ways that we stay the master over our money instead of letting money master us is we honor the Lord with it. Tithing is a way for us to say, this money doesn't control me. It's a tool that God gives me, and I will honor the Lord with this tool however he asks me to. If we applied it to any other tool, this would make all the sense in the world. If I own a chainsaw, I say, "Lord, I want to honor you with this chainsaw." And then if somebody calls me, he's like, "I need some help cutting down a tree." "All right, Lord, I'm going to honor you with this tool. I'm going to go and help somebody cut down a tree." That makes all the sense in the world. Money's supposed to be the same way for us. We're just stewards of it. We're just stewards. And God, because he loves us, he says, "Don't let this thing grab a hold of your heart." Because many, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, many people have been led away from the faith because of money. It's a dangerous thing. But when we tithe and we honor the Lord, is it a mystery that the Lord says, "Bring it joyfully"? Why? Because I can walk down with joy and say, "This thing don't rule me. I'm not a slave to this thing. I rule it." You see what I'm saying? The Lord wants us to have a proper perspective of money. Money isn't evil. Loving it is. And paying God and honoring the Lord with your tithes and your offerings is a way of keeping your heart pure from the love of money. It keeps you from letting money destroy you. You guys with me? Does that make sense? Amen. Let's pray together, and then you can bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that you love us enough to tell us about money and how money is a good tool to be used for your kingdom, to be able to help those in need. But it's a dangerous tool when we allow it to consume our hearts and we allow the desire for more and more and more to just overcome us. Father, and one of the ways that you have brought into our lives to keep this from happening is through the tithes and the offerings. It's honoring you with it first and foremost. So today I pray that we would give joyfully to the King of all the earth, because he is good to us. You are good to us, and you will never leave us nor forsake us, so we don't have to live in fear of lack. You are good to us, Father. We pray that, Father. Bless us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can bring your tithe and offering before the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, church, we're going to enter into our prayer focus for this month. And so if you would stand your feet, because I don't want to be all alone doing this. That'd be terrible. Stand on up to your feet. We're going to be praying together in just a moment. Our prayer focus for this month, throughout the whole church, by the way, we pray for this back in the youth ministry. We pray for it in children's church. Our whole church is focused on this one thing because we all want to get the heart of God together. But this month, our prayer focus is on God's economy, how God's economy works. Today, I want us to pray in a very specific direction. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, it says this: one person gives freely, yet gains even more. And another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. God's economy works backwards of the world. God says, give it away and you'll get more. And then the world's economy is store it up, invest it. That's how you make more. And God says, no, you're missing out. You got to be generous. Just give it. How many of you are grateful we serve a generous God? Amen. He's a generous God. His mercies are new every day. His grace never runs out on us. He's faithful to us. He gave his one and only son. He bankrupted heaven on our behalf. And he says, hey, come and join me in the good life of generosity. That's what he does. It's an invitation. And so we got to pray this into our lives, because if you're someone who struggles with generosity, you're not going to get there by just trying harder to do it. You got to pray that you get the heart of God. So we're going to take some time right now. I want you to pray with me. You don't have to scream it. You don't have to scream it, but I want you to be praying audibly, whether that's in a mumble or whatever. Let the words come out of your mouth and fill the atmosphere. We're going to just pray that the Lord gives us his heart for generosity together, just for a few moments. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are a generous God. Father, I pray that our eyes would be open, Father, that our hearts would be open to see just how generous you are. You are so good to us. You are so good to us. There never has to be a worry, a fear, of lack, God, because you know all of our needs, Father. You know what we need even before we ask you. Father, you're always at your work. Jesus said you're always at your work. Father, you're working all things out for the good of those who love you and live according to your word. So, Father, we don't have to live in fear, Father. We want to live like you. We want to be generous, Father, in every area of our life, Father, with our time, our treasures, and our talents, Lord. We just want to be generous, because in your economy, Lord, when we give away, that's when we actually get more. It's by giving of ourselves we find more of you. We find more of your life. We find more of your provision. So, Father, where the enemy comes and tries to bring fear and worry and doubt, Father, we pray that faith would rise up in our hearts, Lord, that when you lead us to go and meet a need, Father, that we would be joyful in doing it, Father, that we would go, we would look for opportunities, Lord, to be a blessing in other people's lives, God, because that's how you are. Father, we just want to be like you, because we acknowledge how good you are. You are such an amazing God. Even when we don't deserve it, you give. Jesus said that you cause it to rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous, because you're that good. We can't escape your goodness, Lord. That's who you are, Father, and we want every part of who you are to become who we are. We want to be formed into the likeness of Jesus. So, Father, renew our minds. Renew our minds, Lord. When we come and approach life from a poverty mentality, Father, renew our minds to know that we serve the God who will make all grace abound unto us so that we can abound unto every good work. We're not doing this on our own. You are with us, Lord. Father, you said that if we will give generously, we will receive generously, Father, that if we will refresh others, we ourselves will be refreshed. It's the way of your kingdom, Lord, and we want it to get into our hearts so deeply. So deeply, Father, that it's just who we become. That it's a second nature for us to be generous on every occasion, as your word teaches. But Father, it also requires wisdom. It requires wisdom to be able to be generous on every occasion. We got to be wise stewards with what you give us. So Father, we pray that as you give us a heart of generosity, that you would give us a mind of wisdom to steward well what you bring into our hands, Lord. God, and I pray like Jesus said, I pray that our treasure would be in heaven, because that's where we'll live for eternity. Father, I pray that we're more consumed by what we'll experience in eternity than we are what we will experience in the temporary of this life. Father, give us a heart of wisdom, Father. Give us a heart of wisdom. But Father, it's rooted and grounded in your goodness. It's rooted and grounded in your goodness, Father. I pray that right now as we're praying, Lord, that you would just flood to our memories, every one of us, those times that you've been so faithful.
those times where we didn't know how it was going to work out, and you made a way where there seemed to be no way, Father. I pray for those of us who are struggling in this area of generosity and living into the fullness of your kingdom, Father, that we'd be encouraged by the stories that we read in your scriptures of how you miraculously provide over and over and over and over, because it's who you are. It's who you are, God. You're so good. Lord, you're so good. God, I pray that this church that only believe, Father, is known as a generous church. A radically generous church. Not because we're something special, but because we believe in how special you are. God, help us to just fall more in love with you and your kingdom. Help us to believe that your economy works. Father, as paradoxical as it is, it works. When we give, it'll be given back. We can trust you because you're faithful. You're faithful. Church, just for a few moments, let's just tell the Lord how faithful he is in your own life. Just tell him you were faithful in this situation. You were faithful in this situation. When we thought there was no way, when we thought they were cutting the power and the water, it was all gone and we were going to be homeless, you were faithful in that situation. You showed up, Father. God, we just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. When we didn't know how we were going to pay for those medical bills, Lord, you were faithful and it all worked out because you're a good God. When the car broke down and we didn't know what we were going to do and how we were going to get to work, Father, you sent someone to be a blessing and to help us because you're a faithful God. Lord, that's who you are, God. When those seasons come through at Christmas time and we don't know how we're going to be a blessing to our kids, Father, and you just cause somebody to show us favor and to give us money so we can bless our children. God, you're so faithful. You care about the little things, Lord. You care about the little things, Father. Nothing's too small for you. Your word says that we should cast all our cares on you, for you care for us. Father, we thank you that you are generous. You're generous, and we thank you that you lead us into that generous life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. May that be the way we feel in our hearts, Father, as we follow Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, be with us the rest of this service. God, I pray that as Pastor Nicole brings the word, Father, you would just anoint it with Holy Spirit and fire. God, I pray that you would come alive in every one of our hearts today, Father, that we're not going to leave today the same way that we came in, Father. If we came in without hope, we're leaving full of it. If we came in, Lord, with faith on empty, God, we're leaving with faith overflowing today, Lord, because you're a good God and you do miracles. Miracles, and today is a day for miracles. I believe it, Lord. This is the day that you want to show up and show off in our lives, Father. So, Lord, we just offer it to you. God, open up our hearts. Father, we just open up our hearts to you. Come and do your work, your good work in our lives, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a round of applause this morning.
Thanks, Tim. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, church. Good morning, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, Ashley and I, Pastor Tim and I, often we don't have conversations about the specifics of church. We know what's going to happen in the order. But thankfulness is exuding in everyone's heart in this house as they speak forth the word. And I just want to tell you that I'm thankful for a church that glorifies God, not just in word, but in deed. I hear things that you are doing. I hear things in the flesh you say no to, and the things in the spirit that you say yes to. You know, that glorifies God, and I'm thankful that you live holy and consecrated, because I remind you that time is short, and God is coming back for a spotless bride, one that is found in right standing with him. Amen. Before we open in the Word today, I just want to make this announcement that if you do not have a place to go for Thanksgiving, there are members of the church that have come together and said they have a seat open at their table. And so we want to know that, but we need you to sign up. So there's going to be a QR code that if you just click on, it's going to take you there, and I need you to fill out your name so that we can call you and assign a place that's close to you where you can go and be a part of Thanksgiving. We don't just claim that we're a family of God. We're a family of faith. And we lift each other up, we support each other, and we don't want anyone to be alone at Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, just let us know, and we want to get you a place to go. Now, it is November. As Pastor Tim said, every single year, we come together as a church and we equip you, we talk about, and we skillfully help you be aware of what money can, what it could, and what it should be doing in your life. Because it's very important to God, when we read the scriptures, we see multiple parables about stewardship, finances, giving, receiving, tithing. We see all these things in the scripture. Why? Because one of the biggest competitors for the heart is this little green piece of paper. It's crazy that a picture with all the presidents, no matter whether you're a $5 bill, a $10 bill, a $100 bill, I don't even know if they make them higher than that. All I got's hundreds. I'm not sure. But if they do, whatever president that is, there's this, it comes this certain thing in your life. It's like a God. And it just tries to attach itself to your heart. So in November, we're talking, every single November, we will be talking about money. 4 weeks, every single Sunday, we're going to talk. Why? Because the church needs more money? No. The church is doing fine. But you need to understand, if your heart is in the wrong place with money, then your place is in the wrong position with Christ. And that He's got to have all of our heart, not just a part of it. Not just everything but your checkbook. All of it, including my checkbook. And some of you that are further along in the faith, I just encourage you, dig deep. Because these messages really form our hearts. And we think we have certain things right, you know? But we might not. Next week, or the last week of this November, not only is it Finance Month, but we also share the heart for the house to you as a body of believers. We talk about the wins as a church. We're going to talk about some very specific things that have to do with money and vision for 2025. And I just want to let you know that that's November 24th. It will not be live streamed for all of you that are out there. This is something that we do for family of Only Believe. This isn't something we put out public. This is for you and for our family, because you're the ones that give towards this. So we want to share some very, very, very vital information with you and some vision heading into 2025. So please don't miss that week. It's not something you can go, oh, I'm not going to be here, so I need a recording. You're not going to get a recording. I need everyone in the house. Otherwise, you're just going to get a pamphlet, a little booklet to come home with. You're going to go, man, these don't make any sense to me. It's okay. Just come, okay? So let's get into the Word. Last week was such a powerful message that Pastor Randy brought to the table. We started this series called Release the Blessing. How many of you have a card with you today? Picked up my new card. It's in my Bible right here. Got to get it to somebody. I promise it's in here. I did have it. I'll get it. Oh, there it is. Release the blessing. If you have not asked someone to come to church, please invite them. That's what these are for. They're to equip you to pass something out when maybe you might not have the right words to say. You can just give this to them and ask them to join you at church, right with you. But release the blessing. Pastor Randy asked a really, really important question last week. He said, is it God's will for me to be blessed? Good answer. He not only said it was God's will for us to bless, but he showed us some scripture in the Bible. And I don't want to rehash what Randy said, but I do want to build on top of what he said this week. It's very important that we understand the scripture and what God is saying directly. In Genesis 1:28, God was speaking about Adam and Eve, the first man and woman that was ever created. And it said, after they were created, God blessed them. And, don't forget this part, and said to them. Someone say, said to them. It's important that you realize. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Why is it so important that we understand blessing is from God and it is His will for our life? Because if you don't believe it, that it's God's will for your life, then you will succumb to a life of lack and insufficiency. And that lack and insufficiency will just be a part of the way you believe your life is supposed to be. There's no way that God created man and woman, blessed them so that they could be poor. That's a curse. Who wants to be poor? Who doesn't want to know where their next meal's coming from? How they're going to put clothes up on their body? No one does. And if you say you do, then you've already succumbed to the idea of lack an insufficiency. It said God said to Adam and Eve in the garden that they could eat of any tree in there except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And said, if you just don't eat of that tree, well, bless their little darling hearts. That's exactly what they did. I don't know how long it took them to get to that tree, but finally they succumbed to it. And when they did, the enemy, the devil, Satan, old Diablo, whatever you want to call him in your version, altered the plan of God. They were given a choice. Either you can choose to be blessed, because that's what God did, and be fruitful and multiply, or you can choose that tree which brings curse, sin. How did lack and insufficiency enter into our life except through the sin of disobedience from Adam and Eve? Why? Because they believed a lie. They believed a lie. How many times have you and I believed that God doesn't want us blessed? Come on, I'm going to talk right to it. Because if you want to talk about a really hard point in the church of America today, it's money. It's money because you want... Listen, you want to know why? Because the devil has deceived believers, sheep, because a few shepherds have been mismanaging the funds of God and have been disobedient with what God gave them, and he's made it shameful to an entire church. Do you want to know what that does for the devil? It slows down the vision and the preparation and the plan of God for the entire world. If he can make you believe that having money and being blessed is of the devil, and that God meant you to be poor and broke and destitute, financially, spiritually, and emotionally, then no one wants to look like the church because they're all broke. No one wants to act like the church because they're all dysfunctional, broken, mental, debilitated. Their marriages are falling apart. Their children are going off the rails. There is no hope in the American church because we believed a lie that we're to be emotionally destitute and broke. It's not true. God came with healing, but he didn't just come with healing for our physical body. He came with healing for our financial place. But if you don't believe it, you will continue to live a life of constant, repetitive insufficiency. Even though the scripture tells us, scripture after scripture after scripture, do you realize? Okay, let me put it like this. This is not in my notes. Better be careful, because I always get out of control when I go off my notes. Do you realize that the devil can't make up anything new that isn't already there? Music was God's before it ever became the enemy's. I'm going to say this loud and clear. There's children in the room, I'm sorry. Sex was made by God. The devil took sex and twisted it and made it vulgar. Did you hear that? Vulgar would have never been in your mentality or your vocabulary until the devil took sex, twisted it, and made it awful, and told you it was good. And now you think that the relationship and the sex that you have within your marriage is not what God created because it should look like the world. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Your marriage bed is undefiled when it's under God's guidelines. You get that? I don't even know why I'm preaching on this. So the devil only takes what God made and twists it. It's the same way with money. Money was a currency that you needed to live within this life. Be of the world, but not in it. In order to be of it, if you want to purchase food, you best have the green dollar. I dare you to go in with a piece of scripture and say, nope, God said, this is my inheritance. I get whatever I want, and I'm going to take what I want out of this store. You know what? They're going to look at you like you're crazy and lock you up in jail. Why? Because that's not sensible. But God knew you needed it, but he also knew it was going to convert the way you are, be nasty and be tainted when the devil brought it your way. So he drives you to be greedy with it. He drives you to want more and more and more, and it becomes never enough. Does it matter that your needs are met? You still have to have more. More for what? Just to have it? So your security can be put in the dollar and not in God. Did you hear me? I'm speaking to some longtime Christians. Do you know that the greatest transfer of wealth is going to happen within the next 10 to 15 years in the American church and all over the world? Do you want to know why? Because the baby boomers have saved and saved and saved and saved. They got storehouse over storehouse over storehouse over storehouse. Filled. It can either move along the process of the kingdom, or it can just rot in those storehouses and go away. You hear what I'm saying, church? Now, I'm not putting pressure on you about your money, but what I'm telling you is I've had to take a quick look at my life and say, what is important to you? I'm a woman. I'm speaking to every woman in this house. Men, you are amazing providers. And God made you to drive out provision. And you desire to meet the needs of your household because that's the way God created you. But women, you are driven to security. And you love it. And you like it. And when you're secure, everything's fine. But when you're insecure, everyone pays for it. What's that level of security look like for you? Is it ever enough that you're secure and you're done in where you are? Or do you keep living for more and storing more rather than promoting it and putting it in the kingdom that it can continue in his work? You know, people say, well, when's God coming back? Well, I'll tell you, when his plan's complete. Do you want to know what speeds up the process? The more money in the kingdom, the more people get the gospel. The more people that get the gospel, the quicker Christ can return. But when the church becomes at a place that they're fearful of giving their money away because of their security, because maybe there won't be enough for me and my family if I give this away to another family that needs to know that God's faithful to them so they can begin to bless others now because they've seen God be faithful to them, and they hold on to it, it stunts the financial growth of the kingdom. I know, going crazy. That's not even in my notes, I promise. Here's what I want you to know. When Adam and Eve did what they did, they altered all of history, and you and I became cursed. And because of that curse, that's why you and I want to hold on. Because before they sinned, they knew God was faithful. Before they took of that tree, they had never wanted for anything in their life. The second they ate, they knew they had no clothes, and they were naked. Now they had a need outside of God. And God began to right the wrong. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 22nd verse. It says, for as in Adam, all, say all, die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. Death, the curse, defeat, was my future because of Adam and Eve's choice. But God righted my wrong by sending Christ, and he reversed the curse. No longer do I have to live with lack and insufficiency. Now I'm blessed, I have victory, and I get to know what it's like to be provided for at all costs. At all costs, there is no sin in my life. There is no insufficiency. There is no lack because in Christ, everything is made new. I didn't just join the family of God. I was born into the family of God when I believed in Jesus and accepted him as my personal Savior. I didn't just get blessing in the area of money. I got blessing in forgiveness of sin. I got blessing in full redemption and all of the rights that come with it. peace in the midst of the storm. I got joy when I shouldn't have joy. All of these are blessings of God. But you don't get to exempt money from it because it's crude. You don't get to exempt it from it because it has a bad taste and leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. As a husband and wife, just because the world tainted intimacy, you don't not have it. Do you think that because the world tainted intimacy, tainted music, that you shouldn't be listening to worship music? It's the same notes. How many keys are on a keyboard? 88? Am I close? 66 or books? 88. Here's the problem. Doesn't matter. There's only 88 notes on the keyboard. The world uses the same notes as the church. Does that make the notes bad? No. World uses the same currency that the church uses. Does that make it bad? Therefore, God wants you to have what's good. He wants you to be blessed. He wants to have your needs met, and He wants you to believe that you should be blessed, that you are blessed, that you walk in blessing, that you promote blessing wherever you go. The book of Deuteronomy says, choose you this day whether you want blessing or you want cursing. Now wait, everyone stops right there. That you and thy seed shall live. Do you realize that if you believe that God wants you blessed, that blesses your children? Thee and thy seed. What's that mean? How many seeds you got in there? Well, I only got three that I gave birth to, but I got a whole lot of other seeds that I passed. Just like you. That's your children. That's your legacy. And God says that if you choose His way above the enemy's way, you will be blessed. Not you might. Not you could someday. Not if you do everything perfect. But that you will be blessed. Let's turn our Bibles. We're going to go into Galatians, the third chapter today. And we're going to read verse 7 through 9. Let me get over there. Okay. Here's what it says. It says, the real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. Now remember, we're not Jewish in descent. We are true Gentiles because we weren't God's holy people, because we weren't born and raised in Israel and we weren't a part of that time. So we are the Gentiles, but we are made righteous also because of our faith. God proclaimed this good news, the gospel, to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Now, I got a question. Do you think that God blessed the nations through Abraham and left him broke? God blesses people through you. He takes care of your need while meeting someone else's. Through you. Can God get money through you? So all who put their faith in Christ, put their faith in Christ, not put their faith in money, not put their faith in their job, not put their faith in the provider of our home, put their faith in Christ, shall the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now speed up to the 13th chapter for time. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. How many of you that your parents were poor? Poor? My parents' parents were dirt poor. Dirt poor. My mom, when we first started serving Jesus, we thought you had to be broke. I'm not kidding. It felt like it, didn't it, Mom? It felt like it. She would go to Value City. This is when they had clothes, not just Value City furniture. Value City, and she would pick me out an outfit from the clearance rack, but it'd have to have a stain on it. And then she'd pray. She'd pray before we got to the register. And she'd go to that lady and she'd say, "Now, ma'am, I want to pay this, but this has a stain right here. How much will you give me off?" I'm not kidding you. When my mother shows up in a furniture store, you should leave. It's true. She will get you down. She thinks every price is negotiable, even the grocery store. If it's a $2 piece of bread, she's like, "You sure? This package looks a little crooked. I think I could get it cheaper." But you know what? She's a wise steward of her money. And that's, I'm telling you, that goes somewhere when you look at it in the big picture. Do you know that the year my mother found that piece of clothing, it was a yellow shirt with a little blue horse in the corner. At that point, I had no clue what a blue horse meant. All I knew is I'd never had a shirt with a blue horse on it, and I thought it was amazing. But it had a piece of chocolate stain on it. So my mom's praying on the way to the register and asking. She got extra money off for it. We brought it home, and then she prayed again to get the stain out of the shirt so I could wear it. Do you know I was in fifth grade? And that year, they voted me the best-dressed kid in the entire school. Now, I had no clue that that little blue horse meant hunt club, but I'll tell you what it did mean. It meant that we had been poor, and I didn't like being poor. I wanted to have the yellow shirt with the blue horse because it got me the best dressed class. First time I ate McDonald's, I looked at my mom and my dad, and I was in the back seat, and I said, "I'm going to tell you what, we've been poor, and we've been rich, and I like being rich a whole lot better." And all I had was a Happy Meal from McDonald's. That'll tell you how poor we were. God doesn't expect you to be poor. He broke the curse. And by the way, do you know that all things are made new? All things. The health curse of your family before you. The pornography curse of your father and your brother and yourself that was on them is not on you. It don't have to be on you. If you believe you've been freed from the curse, then step out of the curse and step into Christ. You don't live with generational curses. You don't need them broken off of you. All you need is to be born again and to believe in Christ. Now I have a new life. Now I move through Him. I don't care what your dad had. I don't care what your mother had. I don't care they were poor. What I care is that you are born into Christ. And now everything that is His, because of His perfection, because of His obedience, now belongs to you and I. If we will believe it. Now, if you believe that there's still a generational curse on your life, and you haven't asked Christ into your heart, I'd be more than happy to pray with you, but I'll remind you that there is no curse that can live in me while Christ is in me. It says right here that the curse was reversed. It was broke. He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree." Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing He promised Abraham, so that all who are believers might, did you hear that word? Might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Put this in the area of finances, that you might receive the promise, that you might have all of your needs met. You want to know what the might is? Because if you don't believe that God's released blessing come through His Son Jesus, by faith you receive that blessing that's already yours. Not in the work, already yours. The cross is a finished work. There's nothing more that needs to be done. It's all been finished. If you will believe it and receive it. But if all we do is believe the word of God so that we can receive and don't give it away, then all you did was use your faith for what you need. That's not what God asked us to do. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. I'm taking you all the way back to the Old Testament. Pastor Randy talked about this, but we didn't read them. I want to read what the blessing is, because this will make a little bit more sense to you. And this is the Abraham's of blessing, or the blessings of Abraham that the book of Galatians was just talking about. It was referring to this chapter. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands, I give you today the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on the earth. Now, he is speaking to the Jewish people here. Okay, however, we just read in Galatians that what was good for them was good for us. Okay, all these blessings, not some of them, all of them will come on you and accompany you, walk with you, go where you go, sit where you sit. You realize that where you work is blessed because you work there? Amen. You know, where you shop is blessed because you walked through their doors. Where your children go to school, the second your kids walk through that door, the angels are on alert. There are King's kids in the building, and there's blessing that needs to happen. Do you identify that? There's blessing that precedes you. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey your Lord, your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock and your calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. Now, for all of you farmers, that's amazing. For all of us that don't have sheep, herds, and flocks, that means your checkbook. Although I've called my kids a herd before, maybe it means my kids too. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Can someone just say, thank you, God, for Aunt Millie's bread flour? I never want to grind my own flour. I never want to have a kneading trough. I'm so thankful that there's a place that makes it for me. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. The enemies of old were real enemies. Hand, swords, guns, whatever you want to call it. Now, not so much. The enemy could be the devil trying to devour the stuff that you've made. Your enemy could be, an electric bill, which is 3 times its price right now. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. Your savings account. God will send a blessing to that savings account. Do you know that? Amen. By the way, here's something else I learned from my mom. You should never take one bank's word for it. They're never paying the highest rate, even though they say they're paying the highest rate. And by the way, if you still have your savings account like at 2%, you should look. You're getting on 4.5% right now, if you look around and you can find it. 5.5 now. Do you see this? You want to know why? Because she called the bank last week. I'm telling you, she's amazing. The Lord will send blessing on your barns. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep his commands of the Lord your God and work in obedience to him. Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. A part of God's blessing on your life is that the world will see you differently. You get that? This is why it's important what Pastor Tim prayed over us, that we work in wisdom and in good stewardship, because the world is watching. And when you bear Christ's name and you're in him, if you're lacking and insufficient, then it appears that God's word is a lie. And we know that it's not God's word that's a lie. What it means is you and I have to step up to the plate and start believing the promise by faith, receiving it. And then faith works. Now I got to take a step of faith on my faith, and I got to do an action with what I believe. And I got to bless somebody else with what I've got, because I believe that as soon as I give it, God's going to give it back to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's going to be given right back. If you really believe it, then you have to act on the word. Don't get to act on it and just receive it and then not act. That's not going through us. That's storing it up. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Yep. Everybody says that in God's word, there's no prosperity gospel. I don't know about that, because he just said the very first words out of his mouth to Adam and Eve were, "You're blessed. Be fruitful and multiply." That means something. The fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty. He will send rain on your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. Did you hear that? Sister Marge, I heard your first amen. He's blessing that nursing home that you work at, that elderly home. You want to know why? Because you put your hands to those people. Those people that are there are probably alive longer than others because your hands have touched them. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you believe what God's word says or you don't. Regina, where you work, I'm not going to name it. I'm not allowed. Where you work is blessed because you're in the position that you're in. The girl you're training is going to be blessed because she's sitting underneath you. Tyler, you're blessed because you're sitting next to her. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today to the right or the left, following other gods and serving them. Blessing begins with Jesus. It belongs in Jesus. And see, what we hear the scripture here with Abraham, and it was all about what you did. If you obeyed God, he would bless you. There's an old covenant, Old Testament. There's a new covenant, New Testament. The New Testament tells us that the new covenant is better than the old. What I'm here to tell you is that everything God promised to Abraham, he promised you that and more. Because if not, then he would be a liar. And the old covenant would be better than the new covenant. And it's not. Let me tell you something. The new covenant, because of what Christ did, we don't have to worry about being perfect. He was the only perfect one. Because of his perfection, now you and I, through Christ, receive all that he has for us. All. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, running over." I already said this, but I want you to get a picture. Take a bag of chips. Ladies, men that do grocery shopping, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You ever seen those little stock boys and girls? Oh, let me show you how they put your chips away. Wham, 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 wham. I'm like, quit crushing my chips. See, the older you get, you care about raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, and my chips. Don't crush my chips. I'm just telling you. Why? Picture a bag of chips. You see it. They're only 3/4 of the way full anyways. Maybe half now with the new economy, you know? But you get this half a bag of chips. But go ahead. Crush it up. Shake it, pack it down, because by the time you're done, there's going to be about this many chips in that bag. God says, when I give it back to you, I'm going to take that money, I'm going to crush it down, I'm going to shove it in the bag, I'm going to shake it, and then I'm going to fill it up again, and then I'm going to crush it, and then I'm going to squeeze it, and then I'm going to shake it, and then I'm going to fill it with more. I'm going to crush it up again, I'm going to shake it, I'm going to pat it down, I'm going to pack it up again, and when you think I'm done, I'm going to do it more. Don't buy the regular size. Buy the family bag. I'm not going in for that little Lay's bag, tiny. I'm going for the big bag. Why? So that I can be generous in all occasions. And when all the people come over to my house to eat dinner and I didn't cook, I got a bag of chips. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. God wants you to have more than you need. And to believe the story that you're supposed to be destitute and take a vow of poverty to serve Christ is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. That's not what God wants you to do. If there's a vow of poverty he wants you to take, he wants you to take a poverty to stay away from sin. He wants you poor in sin, but he wants you rich in obedience. Amen. He wants you poor in greed and rich in generosity. Amen. This is who he is. I got one Bible story and then we're going to close. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke 5. I'm going to show you this in the New Testament on how God does it and how when you obey, he honors what he said. Luke 5, 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, by the way, whose also name is Simon Peter. So if I mess that up, that's why. If I say it's Peter, it's the same person. And ask him, did you hear that? And Jesus asked him to put out a little from the shore. So Jesus gets in his boat and asks Peter to push him out there. Why? Because he needed to be away from the people that he could see so he could start teaching. It was like a stage. It was like a pulpit. Maybe we could get a floating pulpit. That'd be pretty cool. Okay. I'm just saying, you got to put it in today's tense. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Out in the deep, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am such a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Obedience is important to what we do. And when Christ asks us to do something in the Word, the best thing you and I can do, as small as it is say yes. You know, last month was Pastor's Appreciation Month. Randy and I were completely unaware, and someone had came up to us and gave us a banking envelope, folded up in a little square, and I could feel the coins inside of it. And I opened it up and he said, here, a family in the church gave this to us and they said, thank you. I said, oh, okay. Well, I opened it up. There were $7.50 in the envelope. And I thought, okay. Well, then I got another card that said, thinking of you, we love you, we appreciate you, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, I know what this is. This is the month Dad died. People are remembering it's a year out and they're thinking we're needing some encouragement. Never even dawned on me. Till I was listening to K-Love and they're like, it's Pastor's Appreciation Month. And I'm like, oh, that's why people are blessing us to say thank you for what they were doing. I was just, and then it became real to me what was happening. But do you know the family that gave $7.50 in a bank envelope would seem insignificant and something small to some others. Yet when Jesus asked Simon to just push the boat out, it was so small and so insignificant. But the second that Simon responded to the small and what seemed so insignificant, the bigger challenge came. Now, will Simon hear from a carpenter, someone with a saw and a piece of wood? Jim, that would be like me, who lives in the city, who goes and picks up a can of corn at the grocery store trying to tell you how to plant your crops. You'd say, Nicole, love ya, go back to your grocery store and buy your dumb can of corns, because you ain't telling me how to plant my crop, right? But Simon looks at Jesus. He remembers the small thing that he said yes to. And he realizes that there was something different about this man. He was teaching a kingdom that Simon Peter did not understand. And when he said yes to the carpenter's son, and said, nevertheless, I'm going to take you at your word. Do you realize that just because Christ has never worked your machine shop, just because Christ has never fixed a computer program, just because Christ has never tested Dan and yogurt to make sure that it's not spoiled, just because he's never done what you've done, doesn't mean that he doesn't understand where you are and is going to ask you to do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone and push you out into the deep that he can bless you. Not just bless you. Do you know what it takes to break a net? Have you ever seen? My dad used to be a fisherman. I know what a net looks like. They're twined together. They're not one simple string of sewing string. They're strong. They're meant to hold weight. It broke their nets. Why? Because obedience releases God's blessing. Amen. You are already blessed the day of the cross when you received Christ. But if you don't believe it, it won't be yours. If you don't believe the word that God has written in the scripture and begin to apply it to your life, live it out, it will have zero effect in your life. You will always have lack, you will always have insufficiency, and you will never feel like God honored his word. But the second you take the little thing, and you do it, God's going to give you much. When you'll take him at his word, when God tells you to do something, no matter how insignificant, no matter how silly, no matter how, I don't know if that's going to work, Lord, the second you say yes, all of your blessing is in the obedience to the word of God. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I didn't get through my notes, but that's all right. Faith without action is dead. Faith without works is dead. This morning, I want to be sure, as in every service, that we give a moment to the Lord, that we ask for salvation in this house. When I prepare the scripture for the service, I always listen to Spotify. It's just me. I don't know. I just think better with music, maybe moving. I don't know. But I heard this song on the radio. And the second I heard it, I saw a picture of me walking around the aisle singing this song. And I'm going to sing it. Ashley, if you remember, do you got a microphone there too? You can help me or not? Jesus. And I've got everything that I could need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside. A joy that I could never hide. A safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. Sing it with me if you know it. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take this world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. Today, if you're in this house and you don't have Jesus, then the blessing of Abraham is not for you. But if you accept Christ in your heart, it's through him that all of us are blessed. It's a simple prayer today that I ask, that if you desire Christ in your heart, that you would say yes. I'm walking through this crowd. I don't know what it means. I'm just being obedient to Jesus in the small things. If I walk by you and you want Jesus, then just grab my hand and I'm going to walk with you to the cross. I'm telling you, church, that money is nothing without Christ. It's nothing. It's simply just an earthly tool that we win people to Jesus. There's a reason that men are going across seas in an airplane today. That didn't cost nothing. It cost money to do it. Why? Because we believe in Jesus and that everyone should know him. Everyone, young, old, poor, rich, lost, those who are found have Christ. If you hear him calling out to you today, if you hear him asking you to come be a part of his family, just say yes. He's here and he's waiting. If I got Jesus, I've got everything a man could need. Take the world away from me and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise today for this. I was in prayer this morning, and I believe there's people here that are struggling with rent, that are struggling with utility bills. And God says in Philippians 4:19 that he has met all of your needs according to his riches in glory. If you believe it, he's willing to move. There's some of you here that you don't have a need, but God's been dealing with you to give the largest gift of your life in some area that you've never said yes to. Fear not. God's word does not lie. If he said he'll do it, he will come through. Church, God is raising you up to be a standard in the midst of your communities, that even your cities would call you blessed. The nation would call you blessed because you're God's people. No more lack and insufficiency within the church, but a place of blessing and providership, a church that receives the blessing of God through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That receives the blessing of God, but doesn't receive it to stop it up. Receives it to let it flow through. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Is there anyone in this house today that would say yes to Jesus right now and say, I want to accept him into my heart and make him a part of my life, that I can be a part of the family of God? It doesn't happen by joining a church. It happens by being born again, by accepting Christ into your heart and into your life. Is there anyone that would say yes to Jesus? Father, I've been obedient. Is there anyone in this house that is sick in your body? I prayed for a lady this morning with lost her hearing. Is there anyone that says, if I don't have prayer today, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow? Anyone? I believe the working of miracles is here today in the midst of this house. As I took the walk, I felt the gifts come. And I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit drops the gifts on whom he will. Yes. Yes. Where's Bill's mom? Hmm. What's she got?
She has to go have surgery on the
surgery on the 19th. Let's pray. Belle's mom? Belle's mama? You believe God's a worker of miracles? You believe he can do it?
Yes.
What do you ask of him today?
Just be.
You want him to be with you during the surgery. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And Father, you see, Father, my sister's faith. And Father, she desires that you would walk with her straight into that surgery room. Now, Father, I ask that the great and mighty physician, the physician above all physicians, Father, would be with her that day. Father, that he would enlighten the eyes, the ears, the finger, even the sense of touch to her physician. God, that as he operates on her, Father, that all things would work to her good and to her favor. Father, that you would not just give her the quality of life, but God, you would give her a greater quantity. Father, you see, Father, that she served you, that she loves you, God, that she lives for you. Now, Father, honor her. Honor her, Lord, through this surgery. Be with her and guide her. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You're
welcome.
Love you, sweetheart.
If I got Jesus, I've got everything a man could need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. You know, it sounds better on the radio, but we did what we could do. I'm just saying. Lift your hands to heaven this morning. Father, we just thank you as your church. Father, we give our lives to you today. Father, we give our wallets to you today. Father, we believe and receive that you didn't mean for us to be destitute, not in health, not in finances, not in marriage, not in our emotions. But God, you meant to bless us in all areas, in all things. God, we receive your blessing. We believe in your Son, Jesus, that you sent on our behalf. And because of the work at the cross, we now get to live with an inheritance as king's kids. And God, I don't know of a king's kid that's ever been poor. Now, God, I thank you that you would bless us. I thank you, Lord, for every need in this house would be met. I thank you that debt would be paid off and eradicated, never more to return. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom in this house and stewardship. I thank you that the older would begin to teach the younger about what to do with their money and how to make it profitable so that we could bless God's kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that you move upon our hearts, Father, about tithing and giving. Father, that we would be obedient to you. Father, I thank you that the lies of the devil that he sowed in our life, God, you would begin to reveal them and rip them out one by one. And God, we would not be ashamed of being blessed. We would not be ashamed of what God's doing in our life, but we would champion what he's doing and profess that it can be for all if you'll just come to Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. Just have a good week, and we will see you on Wednesday. Don't forget to keep the missions up in prayer as they go. They leave out today. Just that God would keep them safe and walk with them as they go, and lots of salvations would come forth. Amen? Love you, church.
Real quick, church. Oh. Today is packing party. So Operation Christmas Child packing party is going to happen out in the lobby. If you do not want to take part in this, you do not have to. You are free to go. I will say this. Those center doors are closed off.